Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Father, we thank you for your presence. Can we lift our hands in 1 minute and just tell the Lord how much we adore him? Everyone, your eyes closed, your hands lifted out. Tell the Lord how much you adore him and give him all the praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' gracious name we worship. Let's be seated. Hallelujah.
Glory.
We'll start from 1 Kings 19:11. I've just been meditating and wondering how the teaching should go, and I'm just following my spirit. Amen. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
1 Kings 19:11. He said, then he said, go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. He said, but the Lord was not in this mighty wind that caused such an experience. The wind tore the mountain and broke what? The rock into pieces. But astonishing, the Lord was not in the wind. Who can imagine that? And after the wind, an earthquake. He said, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. The prophet of God wanted to see, you know, he wanted to know if God was in an environment. So he was probably given 3 options to verify that God was in a situation or in an environment. And the first one was a mighty wind that tore the rocks, broke mountain into pieces. And he was astonished at the end of this experience that God was not there. And the second was an earthquake. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Are we together? Next part of scripture. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. I was talking to a friend one time and I said, many people don't know that God never caused any earthquake. I hope you know that God has never caused any earthquake on the earth. I'm not even going there, but let me just add that, chip in that. God is not the one that causes tsunamis. Are we together? Give those credit to the devil. God is not a killer. God is not a destroyer. He said, but the enemy has come to what? To what? To what? See people dead, stealing, and etc. is a devil. But if people have a wrong perspective about God, they'll think he's God. Because they think God is a killer. No, he's not. He's a loving father. You know, this is so good to be true, but it's the truth. God is full of love. In fact, it's not full of love. The Bible says God is love himself. Are we together? And he doesn't repay evil with evil. How to know that God does not repay evil with evil? See what he said. You know, Jesus said, I am the manifestation of God. In Jesus' words, he said, he that has seen me has what? Seen the one that sent me. And what did Jesus say about our enemies? He said, if you have been slapped on the cheek, he said, turn to the other cheek. Let them complete whatever they've started. In other words, just allow things to slide. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying that if you have issue with somebody, allow it go. Alright? Another part of scripture, he said, he said, pray for your enemies. He said, for instance, you have heard in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye. Meaning if they do you, you do them, God no go vex. That's the Old Testament. I hope you understand that this year's slogan is from the Old Testament. It says, day for who, day for you. That's not from the Holy Spirit. Are we together? But what did the Bible say? Jesus speaking, he said, but pray for your enemies. And you know, Christians won't like these things. Say, day for you, day for you, day for you, day. In fact, you see more on Christians' status. And sometimes some pastors can be in the flesh to teach this kind of thing. Forget everybody and you see people be doing, you know. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are we saying be friends with people who think you are their enemies? No. But are we saying you should hate them? No. Don't hate them. If you have this mentality of enemies are always against you, enemies are the reason why, enemies are, you will not be able to be an effective Christian. See, think about it. Who told you that the enemies have power over everything that concerns you? They don't. The Bible said you are seated together with Christ far above what? Principalities and powers. Talk less of human beings. Who will go and plan a charm? You know, any Christian, think about it. If you think that anybody can go to a babalawo and do something on your head that will cause you not to prosper, then you are not a Christian. That is why Christianity is not all about shouting and making noise. No. Look at it here. God was not only in all the noise. He's not in noise and activities and etc. Are you listening to me? The Bible said there was a wind, mighty wind. But God was, the prophet was shocked. God was not there. An earthquake happened, you know, a very obvious activity, you know, earth-shaking activity, yet God was not there. He said, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire was a still small voice. A what? A still small voice. I'm sure he would have been going home and heard a still small voice, yet he did not even pay attention because he's wondering, that's just normal. Next part of scripture. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So after everything, Elijah was waiting for God to show up, yet it was a still small voice that spoke to him. God came so calm. God did not come and, he didn't see God there. And while he gave up, you see, he already gave up. I was saying, Toh. Then he just said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Still small voice. If we tell you God is coming to this church today, all of you, and while you were in the service, you just saw that the wall broke. Most of you will say, he has come. Am I saying the truth? Most of you, where is Ms. Love looking at? She's not paying attention to me. I'm teaching. I beg you. Calm down. The money will come. And that is what I want to do today, because some of you are money-minded. So we want to talk about the cause of Christ. You are not living for the right cause. Are we together? So, you see, imagine, boom, boom, boom. You see people telling you, he don't come, he don't come. May everybody calm down now. God, don't show. Then imagine the grand now talk. Then the people need them. Forgive my sin, God. I love you, but I don't know what happened. Forgive my sin. And many people will be begging God for their sins. Do you think God has come to punish them for their sins? But after everything finished, and you're about to go home, you will now ask, what are you people waiting for? What are you people expecting? What are you people expecting? Meaning it's just normal. It's just what the Bible is trying to make you understand is that God is just normal. He is in normality. Let me put it like that. Don't be waiting for one spectacular experience to find God. That's what the Bible is saying. One spectacular experience. You see, sometimes when I see, why I started with this scripture is because I see my generation, a lot of times, they are looking for God, and the way they are pursuing God, show you the way they are expecting, you know, it paints a picture of the way they are expecting God to show up. You see, and some, they want to die. They are looking like they want to explode. Alright? Because they feel like God should show up in that dimension. And when they find out that some people are quite normal, you know, the way I am, some people don't expect us to see miracles in this church. Because I look so ordinary. So when they begin to hear some certain miracles, they are wondering, probably it's a coincidence. Hallelujah to Jesus. Maybe it's a mistake. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? Are you sure you're here? No, this people are not. Turn to your neighbor and shake your neighbor's body. Everybody, find a neighbor. For 5 minutes, be shaking the neighbor's body. If you don't have a neighbor, I'll call you out. Find a neighbor. Don't stop, oh. Keep on shaking that neighbor's body. Wisdom, you don't have a neighbor? Huh? Is that lady not single? Now shake faster, faster, faster. It's okay. Hallelujah. Don't be dull in church. Some people, they just think, since God is here, move not. Hallelujah. God is here. Are we together? I have to start with this because the way I see our generation going about the things of God, it's not encouraging, but they think it's encouraging. Some of us that have been here for a while, you know, when I say I've been here for a while, some people look at me and they say, how long? Some of us that have been here for a while, we can tell you that a point will come where you get tired. You will definitely get tired. If you are moving at that frequency, you are moving with that wrong expectation. You know, wrong style of pursuing God. You get tired. Some people think God is supposed to come as a wind that scatters. So their expectation, you know, the way they are calling for God to come. Don't be surprised. He's not there. Like the prophet Elijah was expecting God in the wind. I'm sure when he saw how the wind demonstrated his ability, he said, certainly God is here. And when he saw the earthquake and the fire, he said, God should be here. And there was no God. But unfortunately, at the end, God came in a still, small voice. Just one small. Normal wind just blew and he had stayed. And God said, what are you doing? Where are you going to? Have you given up? Same thing. Look at the Bible. You see it in the experience of Paul the apostle. The Bible says he had a thorn in the flesh. What is a thorn in the flesh? It simply means Paul had a problem. And Paul didn't tell the detail of the problem. But a thorn in the flesh means Paul was struggling with a problem. It could be financial issue. Of course, I'm sure Paul was so serious to be thinking of financial. It's not financial issue. It should be a sickness, probably. Well, most philosophers say a sickness, and some philosophers say probably some addiction. But some of us say no, certainly it cannot be Paul. All right, but it can be anything, because he just called it a thorn in the flesh, which means a problem he was struggling with. He didn't tell the problem. Are we together? And This is Paul, who had always been a preacher, saying he had a thorn in the flesh, a problem. But the Bible said, while he was crying to the Lord, three times that the Lord should what? Take away the infirmity from him. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12. It said he sought the Lord thrice. Take away this infirmity from me. But the voice of God came to him and said, Paul, my strength is what? Perfect in weakness. My strength is sufficient for you. Paul was looking for a spectacular manifestation of God in his challenge, in his problem. He wanted God to come somehow from heaven and just do something, bah, bah, and scatter the enemy. Are we together? But here is God telling him that what it takes to destroy the enemy is already on your inside. Because God is actually reiterating what he has said in his word, even through Paul. Because sometimes God will say something through you, and the first the first trial for the light that has been given to you will come from you. I don't know whether I'm confusing you, but let me say it again. If God gives you a revelation while we're going up there, something we call the test of light. When God gives you a revelation, the first victim, all right, the first person that Satan will want to test this revelation with is you. That the revelation is coming from. That is why Paul said something at the end of everything. He said, when I figured out everything at the end, I said to myself, this is a test of light. He said, because of the abundance of light that's been given unto me, he said, the enemy put a thorn on my flesh. Because of what? The abundance of light. Because as you are saying things, as you are speaking God's word, as you are seeing revelation, these are possibilities. Alright? They are not kinetic yet. They may be potential. So I'm sure Satan hearing Paul, you know, hearing the big things Paul was saying, you know, I died with Christ, I'm resurrected with Christ, seated far above. I mean, Satan probably was wowed. What kind of rubbish is this? And now, even though Satan probably did not believe that Paul was all of this, he still tried to put, you know, an infirmity on Paul so that it will hinder Paul entering into everything he has been saying. Are you people getting me tonight? Are you getting confused or you understanding me? So you see, he wanted Paul to at some point disbelieve everything he had believed over the years. Are we together? Because somebody may ask, did Paul have this problem before he got the light or after he got the light? The answer is clear in scripture. He said, because of the abundance of light given unto me, the enemy put a thorn on my flesh. Meaning he already had abundance of light. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He knew he had abundance of light before he had that thorn in his flesh. Before he had the problem. Pastor Simon, I've been in this thing for a while, but I don't know. Something just came upon me and I started struggling with this. I started having this problem with this. I started blah, blah, this, financial, blah, blah. You know, different issue. Why? And I am speaking, you know, my realities in Christ every time. Why? It's called test of light. It's not God that is testing you. It's the enemy that is coming to create a situation that will make you not believe whatever you have believed over the years that God has told you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? As you are talking, Satan is getting scared. Alright? As you are saying your beliefs, of course, he's getting so scared. Because of, he has seen it in scripture. You know, he has seen it before in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that this thing works. This thing is real. In 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible said, the devil said, if I had known, I would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Meaning Satan has already seen it that the resurrection of Jesus really produced great power. So if he sees somebody that understands this revelation and is seeing these possibilities, he will try to create a situation to limit that person. Like Paul. He said because of the abundance of light. He knew it. Meaning Paul didn't have this problem before he had the abundance of light. Paul had this problem after he had what? Abundance of light. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? And the enemy came and what? Put a thorn in his flesh. Which simply means he came and created a problem in his life. If you look at Matthew 13, the Bible said, where the good shepherd plants, that is where the enemy likes to come and what? Plant. The Bible calls it sow rather. Where Jesus sowed seeds, he came and sowed what? Tares. And they were now growing concurrently. And there was a problem, a limitation in the plant because, you know, the tares was what? Affecting them. Now remember, in same Matthew 13, parable of the seed and the sower. Remember the birds that came and stole the seed. All the situation that happened to the ground or on the ground was because of the seed that was sown. Are you people getting? I'm trying to explain to you. All of the situation was because of the seed. If there was no seed, there would be no any situation there. Jesus now said something to us, I think around 23. Is it 23 or 26 of that same part of scripture? Let's see it again. Is it 23? Matthew 13, 23 or 26? Let me see 23 first. Alright, give me 21. Alright, let's see 21. Alright, let's read. Yet he has no root in himself. I'm trying to pick a point. But endures only for a while. Now, this is the point I want to pick. It's for when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word. That's what I want to pick. The fact that the tribulation and persecution arose because of what? The word. The seed of God's word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So why are we seeing the situation in the whole of Matthew 13? Because of the word. The seed of God's word that had been planted. So the situation and tribulation arose. Meaning as you are hearing these things now, Satan wants to make sure that you don't believe everything you are hearing. He knows the cause you are living for. Are you listening to me? He knows the cause. It is the cause of Christ. Paul in prison will say the reason why he's still preaching in prison was because he is living for the cause of Christ. Let me show you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Philippians 1 and 13. Then immediately you give me Philemon 1:23. Probably I'll do just these two. Because of time. It says, So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. You see that? Do you have this rendition NASB? You have the rendition? Alright, give me Philemon 1:23. Is it Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you? Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you. I wish I had the NASB rendition. There's a way I would have it portrays it that makes more sense in line with my teaching. What is Paul saying here? That even while he's in prison, he understands that it is because of the cause of Christ. Are you seeing this? He didn't stop preaching even in prison. What will make a man? I remember years ago while I was studying this, I was wondering what kind of a man is Paul. What will make a man be in prison? You know, I showed you that scripture one time. He was in prison and encouraging people in their community that are suffering tribulation. Imagine I'm in prison and I'm writing to console you in welfare quarters. In your house. So he wrote to them, he greeted them, he told them the state where he is. He's in the prison. But he said, not just in the prison. In the prison in Christ. Or in the prison for the cause of Christ. And he started encouraging people in high level. He said, don't worry, keep on preaching. What will make a man come to that point? Hallelujah to Jesus. What will make a man come to that point? You know, or mentality. That mentality. What will make a man start thinking like that? Of course, he has stayed with the word of God so much. And the word of God has had its full course on him. That's why he was speaking like that. Are we together? But the focal point this morning is that everything you are going through is because of the cause of Christ. Satan knows that if the word of God grows on your inside, if it grows so much on your inside, and it has its full course on your inside, He said he knows that you yourself will go out there and win thousands to Jesus. And that's why he's trying to stop you. He knows you win 10,000 to Jesus. That's why he's trying to stop you. Of course, he saw the possibility of what Paul would do at the end. That's why he was trying to stop Paul. With the thorn in the flesh. And Paul cried to the Lord, what will make a man with abundance of light? Abundance of light, crying to the Lord. He said, I cried to the Lord 3 times. 3 times. This is not before Jesus resurrected. Jesus has resurrected. He understood the finished work of Jesus. And he's crying 3 times. Are you all listening to me? Jesus did not die for himself alone. I mean yourself, you just seated there. He didn't die just for you. He didn't just die to show people that he died. No. He died for the whole world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only word. That whosoever believe in him shall know what? He died for the whole world. So loved the world, he gave his son. For the whole world. Not just for a showcase that he died or for you alone. No, he died for the whole world. You can't live for yourself alone. You are being greedy. Anybody that encounters Jesus Christ cannot live for himself. He will live for the cause of Christ. What is the cause of Christ? He wants the entire world to become part of his kingdom. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He doesn't want Satan to steal anybody or destroy nobody. He wants everybody part of his kingdom. In Mark 11:29, he said to a people, he said, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, he said, come unto me. Then what did he say at the end? He said, take upon yourself my yoke and burden. Meaning, if you have problem, come to me. But when you come to me, I want to give you something that may look like problem at the beginning, but it's not a problem. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because immediately you become born again, you think you should just start going to boutiques and store and eating better and drinking better and wearing nicer clothes. And Jesus is like, no, come to me. I'll give you my yoke and burden. At the beginning, it may look like trouble. He said, but at the end, you will discover that that's the only way to enjoy peace and rest in this world. Are you listening to me? Open it for us. Mark 11. Is it 29? Very fast. Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:29. It said, all of you take up my yoke and let. Now, give me from verse 28 so that we do it better. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is rest. See how he wants to give you rest. Next part of scripture. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am what? Gentle and lowly. He said, at the end of everything, you will find rest for your soul. Take upon yourself my yoke and burden. Meaning, carry my own vision. Run with my vision. Because my vision is for your peace at the end. It's for your rest at the end. In fact, it's for your good at the end. Now, if God tells you to begin to pray, alright, you get born again and he takes your life by the Holy Spirit and begins to lead you and guide you and make you and, you know, conform you to his standard. At the end of everything, listen carefully. When somebody is sick in your house, through you, he will get the person healed. At the end of everything, when somebody has a challenge in your house, you will get that challenge resolved. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, look at it at the end. Who is finding rest in his soul? The pain and suffering that comes with not being anointed cannot be compared to the pain and suffering that comes with you being anointed. And there is no even pain. It's not that the devil will make you feel like there's pain. Because God will want you to sit 3 hours reading the word of God. He wants you to sit 3 hours praying in the spirit. And Satan will amplify it like it's work. But the glory that comes with the outcome of staying with the Holy Spirit in this training can never be compared to the suffering while you are learning, while you are praying, and etc. It can never be compared. That's why Paul said, for the sufferings of this present time, he said, cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Because when you take God's yoke and burden, they may be suffering at the present time, but it cannot be compared to the glory at the end. You see that? Never be compared. Who told you there's no glory when you refuse to not lie, to not steal, to not bear false witness? There's glory. Tell somebody there's glory. There's a lot of glory. If you refuse to follow that chief today and eat a lot of gari, there's glory. Yes, there's glory. They may be eating it, but you are soaking gari. There's glory. A lot of glory. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. There's glory in following the right path. There's glory at the end of it. Even though it's only you, do it. There's glory. Are you listening to me? The devil is out there to steal, kill, destroy. That's his business. That's what he lives for. That's his cause. You can look at Paul the Apostle. After all the things he had known, after all the impact he had made, he put a thorn in the flesh of Paul to make sure Paul is down. Think about it. So you think Satan will just sit down and be watching you? Move, 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 move. No! That's why some people are seated now in church. They are thinking why their business. That's what your focal point now is, why your business is not making progress. It's a wrong course. You have pains all your life, Paul said. Because your eyes are set on rubbish. You just have sorrows. The cares of this world will be choking your soul. Are you listening to me? If your heart is set on the right course, even if business is not working now, you are not scared because you know at the end it will work. For your good. Somebody who is in alignment with the Holy Spirit lost 1 million today. She will still be in church this morning. Not be scared. He will still be in church this morning. Not be scared. You know why? He knows at the end, he will have better than anything he has lost right now. Whether you are the fault of it or not the fault of it. You cannot live for yourself alone. You cannot live for your comfort alone. You must go out of your way. Like Paul, look at it in scripture. He went out of his way. He got children in the faith, Timothy, Titus, and etc. They went out of their way to make sure that the world received Jesus. The world know Jesus. Even Rome, where nobody will enter, Paul entered. He didn't mind being in prison, teaching Christ. That's what it means to live for the cause of Christ. But this mentality is fading our generation. It's fading. One time I was teaching the leaders and I asked the question, how many of you will not mind if we so go into Van Dyke Care for 1 week and do a lot of preaching and evangelism there? And of course, you're going to live like them. I'm not saying you must necessarily eat their food. Maybe you carry your food and carry your mosquito net, but you just go there for 1 week. Preach the gospel. Go to a village for 1 week. But we're in a generation right now that even if you say, come and minister, if you don't have 5 million, these are things happening right now. I didn't mean to say it like this, but it's happening. Even as a gospel artist, you must have some million. In fact, it's not even the preachers that are doing these things. It's the singers. I've hardly heard a preacher that you call and you say, if you have 800,000, I'm coming. I've never heard. I don't think I've ever heard. I'm being honest. In my own circle. Some of them are even wondering if you should even send the transport, whether it's necessary. They will tell you, Simon, don't worry with the transport. I know it's not. Don't worry. You are paying for bus. I want to use flights. I will just take flight and come. But some so-called people who are not trained. It's happening. And you know the danger, if we don't talk about it, a generation is watching and learning. They are watching and what? Learning. It has become business. They don't even understand. They don't understand the cause of Christ. Even in the song, you can tell. It's about money, 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 blessing, blessing, blessing. that the evidence that you are following Jesus is that you now have a car. Then you say, Elon Musk, can you receive Jesus? He tells you, get out from my face. Because he didn't know Jesus before he became the world's richest man. And you, the evidence that you know Jesus is that you have a car that he made, he produced. In fact, he's working an updated version, because that version he sold to you, there are some things that he didn't get well yet. So he's working on a better version of it. But you got that one, and you posted on your wall that Jesus is the Lord of my life. It's evidence. It's working. And you are wondering, I don't know why the world... They say, come and preach to him. You're saying, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. But that's your evidence. Are you listening to me? Somebody who has $456 billion in his account. 456 billion, not naira, dollars. If I ask you, what is the equivalent of $1,000? Who knows here? Huh? Over what? Huh? 1.6 million. Is that true? Huh? That's $1,000. You know what this person has? $456 billion. You know what that means? Think about it. Then you think your car or your status is the reason why he will believe that Jesus is with you? I'm talking about him because he's up there. There are a lot of people who are very wealthy that need Jesus. Hope you know. You know, the mentality of poor people is that when they become, and it's because of the pattern of Christianity they've learned over the years. They enter church and it's your time. It's your season. That car is coming tomorrow. Amen. The house, this year you get it. Amen. So they enter church thinking Jesus is a means to be having success in terms of materialism. They've truly not understood, they've not sat down to understand the cause of Christ. That for years, you know, I went somewhere, something started one time when our former venue, I'm not trying to mock, please follow me carefully. And while we were teaching the word of God, I wanted to pray. I felt like laying my hands on some few people that are sick. And I saw some women just carry pictures and were bringing it forward. Then I asked the protocol. I said, when did this one start? They were bringing pictures. And you know why I did not pray for the pictures? I don't think I prayed. I didn't pray for it because if I had started, and if I pray for it, it will work. Are you listening? And even if I didn't pray that time, the way I still prayed, I'm sure it will work if they have faith. I didn't want them to go and tell people because they saw the word prophet Simon. So they came because they had seen prophetic ministries that are patterned after this manner. And I said, no, that's not the job of a prophet. It has been wrongly understood over the years. What are we supposed to do? To perfect the saints. When we perfect the saints, they will do the work of what? The ministry. In other words, God is like, get perfected, know your place in Christ. When you have an issue in your home, solve it. Are you all getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Right? Does that mean we'll not lay hands on sick people and they'll be healed? Of course, you see them here countless times it happens. But should that be a pattern every time? No! What if your pastor is not around? What will happen? Are you all listening to me? Think about it, people of God. If money is the reason why we are following Jesus, do you think we'll reach a lot of people in this world? There are a lot of people who have money. And the money is the reason why we are following Jesus. They don't need Jesus. Because they have the money. Are you listening to me? They have it. And you should not live your life like that. That money is the reason you are following Jesus. That the reason why you cried in crossover service is because you know Jesus will give you a lot of money this year. That's the reason you were... In fact, the reason why I'm even serious as a child of God, because I know at the middle of the year, I know my story will change. If you hear most Christians say my story will change, they are talking about finances. Have you been spoiled up on your inside? You woke up in the morning and say, "Kai, this is my street. Everybody must know Jesus. Every living soul must know Jesus in this street." You went out of your way, took the money you wanted to use to go and buy burger, and printed downward and say, "Everybody must know Jesus." Street by street. Nobody. I mean, if you only go for evangelism, listen to me carefully. If you go for evangelism, because church say evangelism, if that's the only reason why you go for evangelism, you are not a Christian. I bet you, you can write this down. Prophet Simon said this, you are not a Christian. God have not started, you have not started walking with God. Because if you are walking with God, there are days you will say fast, you alone. There are days you will say pray, you alone. But if you are a lazy Christian, you won't block your ears from those possibilities. You don't want God to start talking in that direction. How do you know such people? In fact, when it's even fasting time in church, yesterday you see them postponing and joking about it. God cannot talk to you personally to fast or pray. And that is why you can't make progress in your life. If you take this burden and yoke right now, you are the one that will find rest in your soul. You are the first person that your praying and fasting will benefit. I tell you the truth, a time will come. The Bible says, redeeming the days, the time for the days are evil. There are evil days that lie ahead. Not because God wants it, but because Satan is always out there trying to make sure that because of the word of God on our inside, we experience tribulation and trials. You are born again. You understand the Lord. You are walking in His ways. Maybe your sister is not. And one morning you woke up and heard this news that your sister has hepatitis B and she's almost dying. She's in coma. What will you do? Will you say, "God, because she doesn't know you, then let her die in peace"? After all, I've been telling her to know you, but she's so stubborn. The truth is that it will break your heart. You understand that part of humanity that is staying in you. You can't bear to see your sister, no matter how born again you are or how serious with God you are. You can't bear to see that your sister is in coma, about to die. You see yourself talking to God about it. And the truth is that you will know what you really have with God. If you have something with God, at that time it will show. Peter said, "That which I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk." If you don't have it, you cannot give it. Are you listening to me, people of God? And when that happens, if your sister come out of coma, you understand the peace that comes, which is greater than the one that comes when you eat a lot of food and take coke. You understand there's a greater peace. Because that time there will be food you'll not be able to eat. There may be coke you'll not be able to drink. But when she rises up from that sick bed, you'll be so shocked. Everything, you'll feel so satisfied. How many of you wanted to check your Wyeg result or Jam result and you were very hungry, yet you didn't want to eat food? Immediately, you got an A. You were shouting. And in fact, you couldn't really eat for a while. But after a while, you ate. But if you get an F, you may not eat for 2 days. It's the truth. You are still mourning your result. Food will look so stupid. Ken Hagin wrote a book before he died called The Midas Touch, because he was so scared of the prosperity movement in the church. So he wrote a book called Midas Touch. And in the book, he gave an example of a king. Hallelujah to Jesus. He said this king wanted the ability to produce money. He wanted to be very rich. So he was granted that ability, that anything he touches becomes gold. And one time the king mistakenly touched his daughter, his only daughter. And his only daughter became gold, a statue of gold. But the king started crying, because his only daughter now is gold. Why should he not be happy? Because imagine a human being that is gold. If you cut any part of that gold, it's billions. But he's crying. Why not be excited having all the gold you want in the whole world? But the man is crying. And you know what the king said? "If anybody can turn my daughter back to a human being, I'll give him all the money I have in this world." Then he wrote at the end, he said, "There are things bigger than money." Are you seeing this now? There are a lot of things in this world bigger than what? Money. Even your health. Have you not seen people that have all the money in this world and they still died in hospital bed? Huh? It is the anointing that breaks the yoke, not billions. It breaks the yoke, even the yoke of poverty. See, you can't carry this anointing and be poor. You cannot even try it. The anointing will not allow you to be poor. If you carry it, he said, that anoint my head with oil. He said, my cup what? Run it over. Are you people in this church this morning? It's the truth. You know, some of you is wondering, what is the connection between anointing and riches? It's just the truth. When you are anointed and get into that place, like Joseph, his master said, I know the truth. Do you know the person that recognized that God, one of the person that recognized first that God was with Joseph? It was not even Joseph saying it yet. It was Potiphar. He said, God is with this, my servant. God is with him. Because when Joseph entered the household, he saw that things were working. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He was the one that noticed that things were working. Joseph had not said that God is with me, God is my secret. No! He figured it out. Are you listening to me? That's the implication of the anointing. You cannot understand this anointing and sit in a class of 1900 people and not become the best in the class. The anointing will just come, make sure that you are implicated to become the best. You know, some people are saying, but I'm anointed, I'm not. Because you don't understand the functionality of the anointing. You think the anointing is just to sit in church and to be doing and people falling. You think that's the only use of the anointing? The anointing is God's ability, God's empowerment. That's what the anointing means. You cannot carry God's empowerment, sit in a class and be the last. With the consciousness of the anointing. You know, when you understand the anointing, you should have expectations. How do I explain this to you? Imagine this is a sword. Huh? This is an axe, for instance. Hallelujah to Jesus. If I, for instance, use this axe and hit a wood, I expect it to cut. But if I was not holding an axe, literally, now this is not an axe, right? If I hit any wood, will it cut? Will there be any trace of it cutting? What will break? The mic itself will break. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So you see, because I'm not holding an ass, I'm sure if I hit a wood with this, it will break. But what if I'm holding an ass? If this is truly an ass, I should expect that when I hit a wood, it should break. But you know what is wrong with many Christians? They carry the anointing. Probably the anointing likened to an ass now. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And they sit in classes not expecting to be the best, so they are not the best. You have what it takes for you to become the best, but you are not expectant. So that's why you are not the best. Because God does not meet needs, he meets expectations. The Bible said the expectation of the righteous cannot be what? He didn't say the anointing of the righteous. He said the expectation. So if you know you are anointed, have an expectation. It is your expectation that will not be cautioned. Don't expect to fail, you will not fail. Don't expect to be broke, you will not be broke. Are you listening to me? Let me say this one now. Don't expect to sin, you will not sin. It's true. Romans 6 and 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign on your mortal body. Now, God said, don't let sin reign on your mortal body. What do you say? I refuse for sin to reign on my mortal body. That is number one. Number two, I don't expect myself to sin because God said I should not allow sin. If God said don't allow, don't you think he has done a lot of things for you to not allow sin reign on your mortal body? God will not just tell you, hey, Simon, don't allow sin reign. God understands that sin is now useless. Sin is stupid. Sin has been dealt with. Sin is nothing. Satan is nothing. Satan is a non-entity. That's why God looked at you and said, hey, don't allow sin reign on your mortal body. But if you go to churches that they tell you the power of Satan more than the power of God, then you will not believe what God is saying. I mean, I've been in churches where the devil is louder than the voice of the Spirit. The devil, what God said in scripture, they are not believing. See what he said. Therefore, do not let sin reign. You go to some churches, they are talking about the power of sin. Yes, I've heard. I've gone to a place, I heard the preacher saying, see, I've come to announce to you the devil is very powerful. After seeing what Jesus has said in scripture, you are telling me the devil is powerful? You are marketing Satan, not God Almighty. If you don't live to the expectation of the possibility he has created in the realm of the spirit, then you are owing him something. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? If I, for instance, if the devil is on, in this front now, you know, get this chair, put it here. Imagine this chair to be a limitation. Of course it's a limitation. It is a devil, right? This is a child of God. And this is a limitation. Are you here? Imagine this guy, a limitation, stopping you from entering into your glory. Paul said that an effectual door has been what? Open unto us. Are you people in church? Are you in church? You know, sometimes why I ask this question, because I see some of you truly have problems that I know, not serious with the word of God. They are teaching you. That's why you still have problems. You are not winning. If you're in a lecture hall, if they see you sitting like this, you are not a serious student. You got to be focused to want to catch it and understand it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about, you know, if you fail exam, you will not go to hell. If you don't get this, you go to hell. It's more serious. Take it serious. Are you listening to me? So imagine this to be Satan. As long as he's here, this guy has a consciousness of him. He will not pass. But what if we kick the devil away? Jesus kicked the devil away. Carry it softly. Just leave it now. You are the one that did it. Leave it. Jesus will do it. Hey, religious Christian. They're trying to frustrate the grace of God. And do you know that God just prophetically did something now? Paul spoke about some Christian frustrating the grace of God. Jesus removed Satan. He said, it is finished. They now want to do Christ. They are the ones removing Satan now. It's not your job to remove Satan. He has been removed. Your job is to build a consciousness, a mentality that the devil has been removed. You have no business outwardly. Your business is inwardly. Just build a consciousness. Satan, you have been removed. You have been removed. When you open your eyes, you will not see him again. Because you have built a consciousness that he has been removed. The reality is that he has been removed. Now, you are building a consciousness to walk in the reality that has been there. Because if you don't understand and build that consciousness that he has been removed, you always see him at the front of you. He has been removed. And that's what the Bible says. Walk out your salvation. It's in you. Walk it out. Jesus has done it on the cross. He has put it in you. You got to walk it out. Are you people get out and try to explain? So Satan has been removed. As long as this guy has a consciousness and understanding that Satan has been removed, he will walk freely. In the same path, he will walk freely. Now, probably at this path before was where Satan hooked him with a thorn in the flesh. Are you people here tonight? Are you understanding? Go up here. So that they see better. Can you see it now? Hallelujah. So take for instance that at this part was where Satan put a thorn in his flesh. So while he was walking as a Christian, walking by the Spirit, he got to a point that he was stuck in his life. He got to a point where he started doing the things he didn't want to do as a child of God. Satan got him stuck here with a character, with a particular habit. So he's limited for several years. Are you listening to me? And it is not because Satan is supposed to be here, but because he has not understood the wisdom of God, the finished work of Jesus that entails Satan to be out from his life. So because of ignorance, my people perish for lack of knowledge. What is the knowledge that they are perishing because they don't know? The knowledge is that Satan has been removed. But the reason why they are still stuck here is because in their mind they think Satan is still here. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He didn't say my people perish because I'm not dead, resurrected, you know, buried. He said my people are perishing for lack of what? Knowledge. The knowledge that Satan has been removed. He said you will know the truth. The truth will not set you free. He said the truth will what? Make you free. Make. Say make, everybody. Make is different from set free. The day Jesus removed the devil from the way, you have been set free. But the day you understand what he has done will be made a reality in your life. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So why is that guy still smoking? Why is that guy still in sin? Why is that guy still in lack? Ignorance is the only mountain in our front now, not the devil. Because the devil has been removed. Look at the expectations. God now paints the picture again in verse 12. He said, therefore, do not let sin. Look at what Paul said. Do not let sin. It's up to you to allow it. Meaning if sin is raining on your body today, you are the one allowing it. He said, do not let sin reign on your body. He said that you should obey it in its laws. Next part of scripture. It then says, and do not present your members. He said, you are the one presenting now. As instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being what? Alive from the dead, and your members as what? Instrument of righteousness unto God. Next part of scripture. It then says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but what? Under grace. Simple and short, under human effort, sin has dominion over you. But under the consciousness of what Jesus has done for you on Calvary, grace, sin cannot have dominion over you. So I wonder the kind of grace in our generation that people understand that sin is having dominion over them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? And right now they've coined a gospel out of the gospel that says whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. It's from the pit of hell. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Have you heard people say things like this? That listen, the human being can never be perfect. A human being can never live above sin. I mean, he's a preacher. He said nobody, no man of God, not even me, who are you, can say that anybody can live above sin. And you know why a fair number of people agree to that? Because a lot of people are struggling with sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when you say that, everybody will be like, even though there's no part of this Bible that supports that, we all agree because we probably are struggling with one thing or another. And you hear statements like, every man has a weakness. Have you heard something like that? Such that you are asking questions, you hear a question like, what is your weakness? And you say, I have no weakness, everybody will think you are stupid. Then again, I wonder, the same thing they are saying in church is the same thing that worldly folks believe. I heard a worldly singer saying that she was not having a wonderful life in her lyrics, coincidentally. That the reason why I'm not happy is because I was trying to live in perfection. I had to accept that I'm imperfect, and that's when I started enjoying my life. That struggling towards perfection is the reason for people not being happy. So you said, when I accepted my imperfection, that is when I started getting happy. And she has a lot of influence. So younger ladies now, if you check some people, their status now, you'll be seeing Facebook status. I remember there's a lady in church here. I had to call her and said, you know, you are now born again. I think you are hearing what you are saying in church. I said, do you believe it? She said, yes. I said, I'll be observing something on your status. How did I see it? When she added me, anybody that adds me, I check your profile to know whether I know you. Because some people will come into your world just to have problem with you. So I used to check whether I know you. So when I saw that she's a member, I noticed after 2 months that the status is still there. The writing on her Facebook bio. So I asked her, I said, now that you are born again, I think you agree that you can be perfect in Christ. She said, yes. I said, go to Facebook. There's something I saw there. And she started laughing. I went and edited it. And I asked her, where did you learn this from? Is it Rihanna or Beyonce? She called in one of the songs. And you see, one thing with these people that say this thing is, if they want to say that thing, they don't put it for themselves. You hear something like, nobody is perfect. I mean, I think everybody should just respect themselves and say, I am not perfect. There's no need to generalize it. When people want to talk about bad things, they like to generalize it. There's nobody here that can say he's living above sin. Let me see the liar that will rise up. So you have already said that a liar is about to rise up. Which person there will have the impetus to rise up? You people get out of trance. Like one time I heard a statement that troubled me. The lady said, in this generation, people are virgins. I'm shocked. So I said, what kind of a statement is that? Is that sin is so normal now that people cannot be virgins before marriage? I'm shocked because I'm about to have children. I have children. And I don't want to believe that kind of mentality. Say, I can't be perfect. That's wrong. Say, I am perfect. You got to believe what God is saying. Dance to the music of the Spirit, not the music of the world. Are you listening to me? Next part of scripture. It then says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Certainly not. Next part of scripture. For those, you know, thinking, you see what the Bible said? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you present yourself, you are slaves to obey them, you know, NKJV, okay? Is that you are that one slave, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sins leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Next part of scripture. It then says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now this should be one of your confession early in the morning. I'm a slave to righteousness. You say it and your life goes in that direction. I'm a slave to righteousness. A slave for the right cause. You can wake up in the morning. This is what we call slaves of righteousness. Look at your neighborhood. Carry your Bible and start preaching unashamed. What did Paul say? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. He said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe. He said, I'm not ashamed. Because sometimes we can be ashamed. Am I saying the truth? We can be ashamed. There are some of you, when God lifts you to certain position in your offices and you start talking to some people, and white men included, you dare not bring Jesus because all of you are demure. And when you see somebody preaching Jesus there, you are like, they don't see, don't be religious in every place. Don't be. There are some things. The person is irritating you. You see, you are entering systems with an agenda. You are entering different systems with an agenda. You can go and sit down. Different systems with an agenda. And it is now that God will vet that agenda in your heart. What you are doing now, he that is faithful in little is faithful in plenty. It's from here God is vetting. He wants to know, does Rose really love me? Does she want me to use her? How do I know? Hey, God, use me. God, you cry in church. No. But he sees that Rose will go back home and take 2 hours. Pastor did not tell her. HO did not tell her. 2 hours. And pray and confess the word of God. What is she doing? They say action speaks louder than voice. She is registering her availability in the realm of the Spirit. Catherine Coleman of Blessed Memory said, God does not use golden vessels. He's not looking for golden or silver vessels. The Bible says, she said, God is looking for what? Yielded. People that are yielded to him. As she's praying, she's registering her availability. God, I'm available. Use me. I'm available. Use me. How do you prove to God that you're available for him to use you? You say you want to be an influential man or woman in the world. The problem is you must understand, what are you being influential for? What do you want to do? Somehow become the most richest person. There is nothing like that in the realm of the Spirit. God does not have an ambition, such an ambition like that to fuel in the realm of the Spirit. It's a useless cause to live for. Why do you want to be rich? That's the reason why. That's what we call purpose. So I want to be one of the world's richest women. That's a useless ambition. You get to that point, you don't even know what you're using the money for. That's why we have a lot of influential women who have money, but their influence is causing havoc to the society. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, take for instance, you have somebody like Oprah that is telling you that she does not believe in God. One of the world's most influential women. She says she doesn't believe in God. So what will you talk about such a woman that tells you Jesus is not the only way to the Father or to heaven? That there are several ways. She has a lot of money. A lot of young... Now, many people, when they just see that you have money, especially young ladies, when they see a big woman that has money, they don't care about your values. They are following. She's a mentor now because she has what they are looking for. The woman is in the end of their goal in life. She's in the essence of their life, the end of their pursuit. And that's when they get to that point, they become foolish. me a lot of influential, foolish men and women. How can you explain a man that claims to be very rich, but in his this is his ideology. He believes that after what changes, human beings should change. What does it mean? After that, he now enacted laws that allow men to marry men, women to marry women. I don't want to call names, but if you have been following politics, you should know people I'm talking about. Now that's an influential man. That's a dream of some young people who want to be politicians now, young boys. And look at the foolishness he's saying there in the name of I have money. Listen, nobody may be able to say this, but the truth is that they are not living for the right cause. And vanity upon vanity, all is what? Vanity. Only the word of God can last eternal. At the end, it is everything that God started that will last in the end. Anything that God did not start in the realm of the spirit cannot last in the end. They can give validity to people to marry men and men. At the end, in the parousia, you'll be slapped into becoming a man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Before you go to hell, you'll see yourself as a man. It's the truth. Some of the things they practice, not even in hell is it practice. Because in hell, there is only gnashing of teeth and crying. But the devil will cause you to walk in wrong things, make you feel like he's the best, so that you end up in his realm. He's frustrated. He's looking for people to end up like him. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's why he's deceiving a lot of people. You must understand this. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you are plugged into the supernatural, you understand that what is happening in the world today is a demonic thing in terms of people hating on church. Have you seen the level of hatred on churches in this generation? You just talk about a pastor, people are bashing. You just talk about a church, people are bashing. Are we saying things have not happened in church which are wrong? No, truly, a lot of wrong things have happened that should make people misunderstand the stand of church. But see, you can never prove to me that the hatred on church and pastors is genuine until you prove to me why people look at politicians in Nigeria and know hate them better than pastors. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If somebody can look at Tinubu and love Tinubu more than he loves Adebwe, a person is mad. And whatever he's saying is not true. It's not from the spirit of God. It's from hell. You can't tell me that people that have destroyed your life, destroyed the country, destroyed your community, are sitting with you and are against a certain pastor who you don't even know the foundation of. But now you are angry that the income that comes to his church is using it anyhow. Yet you have not given one naira to that church. You are in a country where you give, what do they call it, tax every month. They've not done one thing for you. You cannot question the government. And you think it's normal. People of God, let your eyes be open. You think it's normal that when a time in this country, when it was said about a church in Abuja, Kosa, I'll never forget. Alleged that the man slept with a lady. Rape. Alleged, though. No evidence. Nigerians stood up and went to block the church that there'll be no service. On a Sunday, block the church that there'll be no service. Yet this same country, their president and vice president are moving everywhere in Abuja. And fuel is 1,000 plus. And nobody has blocked the road. You can never tell me it's ordinary. It's a demonic problem. Satan has an agenda against the church. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The church can be likened to the ark. The ark that Noah was building. I can liken it to the ark. It's the truth. Now, when God said, gather everybody in the ark, it was not all nice. Because there were goats there, man and woman, male and female, I mean. There were lions there, male and female. So there was poopoo there too. It was smelling too. It was not convenient. Are you people getting on trying to? Oh, you think there were poopoo, there were toilets for goats and cows in the ark? You think so? Today, do we have a toilet for goats and any animal? Talk less of that time. They were just littered everywhere. And Noah too was there. And the people that wouldn't mind, they entered. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It was smelly for several years, several days. I mean, all of a sudden, when the havoc was done on the earth, they opened and the people were saved. No matter how you think the church is bad, your only security is in the church. Are you listening to me? Your security is in the, it may be smelly. You may see people you don't like. You may see people that hurt you before. They are now your own HODs. Somebody that scammed me before is now, he's now in the church. I swear, if that girl they go to that church, if I go make I die. You have to come. Because that's the only place where you can find security. Why? Because the enemy is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only place he cannot touch are people in the ark. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? So this agenda against the church is from the devil. Consciously develop love. And some of you must stand to the defense. You hear them talk, you talk. Then when it gets to brutality, you stop. You know, some of us like violence, couldn't we? The pastor said when they talk, we go talk. Even if not fight, we'll go fight. No. It gets to a point you allow peace to reign. And think about it finally. Imagine there was no church in Nigeria. And there were every other religion in this country. You know, you said Nigeria. Imagine all the church fold up and say, okay, we'll leave this country. Go ahead. I don't think this country will stay up to 1 week. 1 week. Because some of these thieves, when they finish and go to church, when we talk small, they will calm down small. I said, I'm not going to kill the guy today. Some of you are living long because there are churches. You don't know. He has planned that he is going to plug the head. And when he comes to church, he just heard something. He said, oh, instead of doing anything, let me just go and smoke. I will not do it. I'll calm down for a while. I'll calm down. I remember one time Pastor Chris was preaching in Port Harcourt. Over 50-100 cultists came outside to receive Jesus. Imagine those people never received Jesus. You think Port Harcourt is hot today with cultists? It would have been hotter. Some of those cultists are pastors today in Christ's embassy. So no matter how you think Nigeria is bad, know that what has been helping this country for years is the church. He said we are the salt of the earth. And so if we are in Nigeria, we are the salt of Nigeria. The reason why we still have taste in this country, no matter how the bitterness is seeming to come, the reason why we still have small taste is because we are here. If you remove us, this country will be destroyed. We boldly say it. That's why don't allow book make you stupid. You read, you now become stupid. You know, I always tell people, and don't talk for people to like you. You know, some people think, over some pastors, they'll start preaching in a way so that people say, hey, you are not among them. You are not among the thieves. See, preach the word of God. Whether you like it or not, people will talk against you. Are you bigger than Jesus? They spoke against Jesus, God. When I saw that one, I gave up on humanity. They spoke against Jesus. You, they will not speak against you. The Bible says he was hated not with a cause. He was hated without a cause. I mean, there was no reason to hate Jesus. People just said, let's just hate him like that. Then you just think you are trying to do something for people to like. Just live the way you are supposed to live. Preach what you are supposed to preach. I suppose they want to preach and impress the public. I'm just wondering. You are wasting your time. Same people you are trying to impress. Tomorrow we shall crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. Stand for what is right. Forget about what people will say. Forget about the naysayers. Are you here tonight? It's the truth. We are living for the cause of Christ. No matter what you do, business, whatever you are doing, no matter what you are doing, never neglect the place of the local church. This is where you are trained. You are sent into the world. Some of you will walk from the ministry. Some of you, your influence will be greater in the world out there. No matter what, never forget you are living for the cause of Christ. No matter what. If you observe, this is what the enemy is fighting every day in your life. He wants you to be disconnected from the cause of Christ. He wants somebody to just wake up and be stubborn, wake up and be stupid. He's fighting you every day. Every day is a fight to stay on the right course. Every day. He understands what it means for somebody to live the right course. He knows the kind of effect it will cause. And sometimes some of you wake up, you just feel like being stubborn. Make I just show Pastor Peter, say, let me only him be human being for this world today. He just needs somebody to show him. So I don't know what I'm saying. He didn't feel like saying, it's not you, it's a devil. It's a devil. You come in the morning and say, I don't feel like going anywhere. Even if they lie, let them call me 100 times. Even if it's church, I'm not going. It's my principle. Nobody should force me from doing the devil. It's a devil. Some will say, I've taken enough insults. I've taken enough insults. Some of them, their boss is doing like this on their face every day. Ubanka. I say, yes, boss. Yes, sir, the way you insulted me, I don't think you did it well. Put my do like this again. Ubanka, thank you, sir. It's a blessing. The way you interpret things is what matters in this world. I don't see it like a curse, I see it as a blessing. But they come to church, say, why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? Ah, Pastor Anne shouted on me. Oh. Did they serve God like that? And I saw that they serve God. I've taken enough. I'm not going there. The other day I went to church. One destiny was just making noise, irritating me. I'm not going to that church again. No. She did not talk to you. She was just doing that. She irritated me. And that person, he heard that somebody stole money from the office. And I said, the person is a Glory Carriers member. I said, he's a Glory Carriers member. I know they go that thief church again. Oh, I know they go. You are surprised they gave this kind of example. Because sometimes it can happen. But it's from GCMI. Prophet Simon. We told him out and waited to teach. Somebody will say Satan no exists. See, now in Pekin be Satan, gongo. We know they go to that church. Oh. We know they go. I can't take that. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, people just like staying for bad things. They just like bad things. Just like, Pastor Simon, don't give one woman belly. Hey, whoa! Don't start dancing. Jesus, oh, tell me something. My sister can't eat food. Sit down. Eat. Tell me. Hey, whoa. He don't do anything. Hey, my God. Oh, hey, don't lie down. Start rolling on the ground. Jesus, oh, the Lord has done it finally. Finally, finally. They like bad news. Hey, Prophet Simon just got 2 people and healed from cancer. they say now I'm close to river, not in church day. They're close to river. A blessing say before service, they always, why be saying they always come up for this side? When I don't observe that. They go come church, you don't go enter, you go follow back of church. If you observe, anytime you don't follow back of church, power know they did it to the sides. There's nothing we have not heard. Hey, in power, see here. Why this every Sunday here they fight? It gets onto a rope. That's why when they preach, sometimes I go do like this. If he touch the thing, touch you. You go confused. In fact, one time we heard the news. They said I went to Ghana to get power. That's why people give in church. They said when I talk to people, they like to serve God very well. You know, there's a lady that she came on to school. And she started serving God so much. Sometimes she doesn't even like going for break. So the mother took her to a prophet. And the prophet vetted me in the spirit. And said, I went to Ghana. And when I went to Ghana, I collected some power. When I talk to people and shake people, they forget their family. Yes. Even to say one thing, I couldn't say. This is how I was just looking. You know what? Something is so astonishing and it has become a joke. And you don't even know where to start from. I just said, okay. I didn't even know where to start from. I'm why these things survive? They used to use charm on people. That's when they talk, you just come out your money, just go give. Now when you give, you can't remember. Hey, I give money. Yet it's not from the members that are here, you know. How would that church be so young and they are doing all these things they are doing? Wait. If you think it's easy, go. If you go and meet Amadoa, Abi Amadioa, collect charm, open church, and try it and see. Or go to Ghana. Ghana is not far. There are a lot of people like bad news. Bad news. There was one geo is preaching. Let's say Bishop Oyedepo now. One other bishop has left his church. Hey! Bishop Oyedepo is a wicked man. He's a wicked man. We know it. That's why the assistants, they left. He's a very wicked man. And most times you don't even know that the victims are the innocent. Because they can't come out and talk. I don't know, but it's the truth. Take for instance, I heard this from a man of God, that you are a husband and you have a wife that is harassing you. You know, wives who harass husband. You know, it's only women own this to hear. But you know, women too are doing it. It's unbelievable, but I heard that some women beat their husband. And it's not because they truly have the power to beat their husband. Their husband just submitted for the beating. Because if they revenge, they'll be trouble. If not, how many women can beat men in this world? And when they beat this man, beat him, he will enter, they will beat him. She will carry knife, he will dodge and run. She will carry something, he will dodge and run. Then one day he made up his mind that he's not staying in the house again. He packed his things and left the house. Then the woman now posted online. Wicked man that left his wife and 4 children. Then the whole countryside is sorting the man of how useless he is. Meanwhile, if they had asked, they would have found out that the man actually did the right thing by saving his life. What did the Bible say about such people in the book of Proverbs? It said, a foolish person is a person that just hears a matter from one side and judges. Is a foolish person. And now that person has been expecting it to be like that so that he can just accuse the person that he wants to accuse. That you must learn to hear from the good side before you judge a matter. Are you listening to me? And there are many of us seated here looking at me that have judged matters like that. Because the people they call are enemies. Or because the people they call, listen, they are, and you know why they are enemies? They are rich. You feel they are finer than you. You feel they are more successful than you. That's why when you hear something about them, you start just saying, it's true, because you are jealous and envious. It's the truth. Jealous, envious, wicked, poor. That's why you hate the success of other people. And as long as you are like that, you can never be successful yourself. You should like the success of other people. Like it. Heard this from a preacher and it blessed me. It's the truth. They said Joseph went to Egypt. But look at it carefully. When Joseph was on his path to Egypt, see the things he faced. See the troubles he went through. Well, being sold to slavery and the rest. But at the end of everything, his father and the sons, when famine happened, you know they were enjoying, they were not poor. But when famine happened, everybody was poor. They came to Egypt only to find out that they are the person in charge of sharing food is their brother. And God has laid it in his heart to forgive the brothers after all the wickedness they did to the brother. They did wickedness, were flexing, the guy suffered in prison. Everything came out. God now said, forgive them. Famine came, they left, came back. No suffering in their life till they died. Meanwhile, Joseph was going through hell. Now, between Joseph now and the brothers, who did God love first? Who does God love more? Think about it. Do your calculation. Who suffered? Who enjoyed? The family. You think those people lack a day? When he gave them the first this thing, they would have called. He don't finish. I'm sure he would have said, this servant, make sure my family never lack. Anytime it's remaining like 2 bags, carry 5 bags more. Where's his orphanage? But while he was trying to get into purpose and destiny, see all the wickedness. What am I trying to say in essence? Some people trying to fight you now on your path of purpose, trying to, Satan is using them to distort. They don't know that where you are going, if you reach that destination, it is for their good and safety. In fact, they'll be the one to enjoy it more than you. Are you listening to me? You may be feeling a lot of heat now for this course you are living. Keep on pushing. In fact, some of you don't mock in your house. Tighter. See how things tight for you. Tighter. Keep on pushing. Now you claim say it's tight. Now you pop past everybody for this house. After they borrow money, 2K, mumu. If we give you now, you will go tight. You are tightening and things are tight for you. They will insult you. You, some of you have been there. You pray in tongues. You are praying for your sister. In many something just happened. You say, see this one. You go open my. Mumu. See, now you, now, because see, they do this kind of thing. They will insult you with spirituality. And you'll be telling God, but is my sister I prayed for yesterday? In fact, you are praying for her to marry. She marries. And the marriage becomes this thing to you. It's you that is the matter for the marriage. Every time it's you. But it's me that prayed this marriage into manifestation. Keep on pushing. Are you listening to me? At the end of everything, only Jesus will be glorified. But what will keep you pushing? Love. At the end of Joseph's life, who was glorified? God. He did not see. There is no point of saying, see her? That's the kind of Christianity will teach me. Shebi, I tell you people, your enemies will see you up there and they will regret ever pushing you. Amen. One day you look at your enemies and you say, oh, amen. Your enemies will be in pain one day when they see you up there. Amen. If Joseph prayed that prayer, the enemies would have died. But see, he went there. God, he said, forgive your enemies. But we'll go to some prayer houses. Whether it's my father, whether it's my mother, whether it's my brother and sister, anybody pursuing my star, what are you waiting for? Die, 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 die. What is my child? What is my CCO? What is my water? Fire, die. What is your sisterhood? Anything blocking my staff. What is the staff? Money is the staff. But you are seated together with Christ. And where we are, enemies cannot come close. Do you know? You can have somebody in your home that has been planting, in fact, is it Dibia, they call them or whatsoever. It's just that some of you don't understand this. Do you know he can serve you food? Put poison in the food. You know, sometimes you think you are very calculative. I went to the village and for burial, and I just, they kept food for me, so I just excused myself to do something. I came back. My mother now said, where did you go? I said, I went to do something outside. Said, when you went, who was there? I said, nobody. Say, leave that food. I said, I just went out not less than 1 minute. She said, don't touch that food. They have understood the calculation. That in the twinkle of an eye, anything can happen. So when she opened the kitchen to fetch another food, I just opened it and said, mommy, I've killed myself. Oh, I've eaten it so much. And I said, I've already eaten it. The Bible says you shall eat poisons. And I asked somebody, how will it work if we don't eat? See, I'm not conscious of the death. Listen to me carefully. I will not see somebody putting water pia in the food and carrying and eat and say, God, show them. No, I'm not foolish. Don't think that's what I'm trying to say to you. But how careful can we be in this world? How careful can we be? So are you telling me that as we're sitting in church now, somebody's with charm? As you stand up and say, hey, what prophet did not keep the charm? You sit down and you die. What kind of God then are we serving? Talk about Paul in scripture. Warming himself, snake came out. Snake, like, you know that snake that the body is like wood, came out. Familiar spirit. You know, some of you always speak about familiar spirit. It doesn't matter whether there are familiar spirits in your life. As long as you are conscious that you are like Christ, they cannot harm you. Came out, familiar snake. Beat Paul on the leg. The Pharisees sat down and said, yes! All the Pharisees, the heresies he has been saying, God has sent a snake to kill him. And why do I watch it? Before their very eyes, Paul, he didn't say, make God, make my enemies know that, he just, you know, such that you have with God is what you release in times of need. He knew what he has been doing. He removed it, threw back in the fire, kept on warming himself. After 2 hours, they looked at him. They said, the same enemies. They said, this one is certainly a God. People waiting for him to die are now saying he's certainly what? A God. They knew and acknowledged God mighty in the life of Paul. And they left with shame and glory to God at the end. That's how it's supposed to be. No consciousness of Satan. They shall by no means, hurt you. I tell you the truth. You can write this down. If you die by a witch, God will give you a very small place in heaven. You'll be in a hut. You see this kind of hut? That's where you live in heaven. If you die by a witch or a wizard. And do you know you can die by a witch or a wizard? Let me tell you how you can die. If you read medicine so much, have a PhD, become a professor, read law, reach. You know, some people don't even know that they are not wise. You are reading and reading and reading law. You want to become a professor. No spiritual exercise. Then one demon that does not brush his teeth, one wizard in the village that used to his stick to brush, opens the basket and calls your name, you appear, hit you with all your knowledge. You can't save yourself. You get to the ground, 6 feet under the ground. How useless and foolish are you? Even in your death, angels will tell you you are stupid. You don't know, right? You think some of you, when you go to heaven, God will be like, come, that then kill you. God will show you who killed you. You'll be so shocked. And as long as you're not plugged into God. I'm optimistic. Nobody can kill me. No word of God. I'm optimistic. You see, I'm just optimistic about life. You know, you're speaking quiz English. Should we tell them? In all your gettings, get wisdom. All your gettings, the Bible, when you get all the knowledge, get the wisdom of God. Are you listening to me tonight? That's your only security in life. You want to get married, you are looking at a man with six packs. Are you okay? Does he know God? He's my covering. Why is he your covering? He has moves we can beat anybody. The things which are not seen are more real than the things which are seen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They are more real than the things which are seen. The demon that will kill that man with Mosul is not up to 2 years in the spirit. He has not entered 2 years. Marry men that have stature. He said, husband, love your wife as what? He has warned you already. He has given you wisdom. Marry a man that knows Christ. He said he can know Christ, but he's not praying in the spirit. He can know Christ. Who told you that? When you pray in the spirit, you build up your most holy faith in Christ. When you are filled with the spirit, that is when you can know Christ. He's the surety to knowing Christ. If he's not filled with the spirit, he cannot know Christ. And the evidence you are filled with the spirit is praying in other tongues. They've insulted me for this video. Let them insult again. It's the truth. If you don't pray in the spirit, you don't know God. You can write it down. Argue with your fact. When you get to heaven, God will tell you I'm right. I'm not second guessing. It's in the Bible. There are a lot of people that pray in the spirit, they don't know God. But if you know God, you pray in the spirit. You can pray in the spirit and not know God. But if you know God, you pray in the spirit. So there are a lot of foolish people who pray in the spirit. But if you truly know God, you'll be still praying in the spirit. Are you getting me tonight? So live for something. Live for something. And the last part before we go. Some even department in church. That's how you know that you don't have a walk with the Holy Spirit. If you are living for the cause of Christ, how much are you adding to the success of the work of God? Even in your department. They have to call you. Join the department. You join the department and say, I don't like this department. The way they talk to me, I don't like it. No, you are a child. You can't be used by God. You must live for His cause. Take upon yourself His yoke and burden. Find rest for your souls. Some of you, the way you are now, if you were serious with God, your whole family would have started following God now. It's just your seriousness that is the price that you need to pay for your whole family to start following God. Not your advice. Your seriousness. I'm telling her to come to church every day. She's not coming. Pray in the spirit. Gather stature. So that when you enter your home, they can notice when Ima entered this house. Suddenly the fever left me. They will not acknowledge. Two times, three times. Ima, I want to follow you to church. Eh? They've seen it. My family used to flog me when I was young not to go to church. To the kind of church I was going, because of the kind of church they were going. A point came, they are all following me to my church today. A point came. They kept quiet. Nobody was saying anything. They saw manifestation. Daddy, your money just lost 500. Ah, yes. How did you know? Ah, it's God. Simon, my leg is... In the name of Jesus, pain. It's gone. Why will they stop me? Be on your feet. Father, we give you praise for your word tonight. Your word is a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. I declare in the name of Jesus that everything we have heard tonight is a light for our path, a lamp for our feet. Go ahead and pray and thank the Lord for His word. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Thank Him for the word. Thank Him for the word. Pray in the Spirit. You are not wasting time. You are living and building for the cause of Christ. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Everyone, pray. You are not wasting time. I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time, Shabba Kawaya, calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time, Shabba Kawaya, calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. No, you are not. You are building something for your peace tomorrow, for your rest tomorrow. This yoke has got it over you tonight. It's going to endure for a while. But it is nothing compared to the glory. Barakabaya. Go ahead and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.